personally have a testimony where I have seen miraculous healing, so I feel like that's worth sharing. I was 15, first year working here on the farm, and I left halfway through to go to the Dominican Republic with my church. As we went there, I went there because I wasn't really strong in my faith. I went there because a bunch of girls in my youth group were going there, and we're going to Dominican Republic, so it would be a lot of fun. We went there, and there's one girl in particular. She was just a solid person. That's what attracted me to her. She had back problems for her whole life, ever since I've known her, since she was six. She danced was her favorite thing to do, and she would take maybe five or six different pill bottles, so lots of different pills every day, just to help subside that terrible back problem or backache she'd always have. And while we were there, and with one of the second last day or something like that, they took us to a place called Prayer Hill, and it was like a terraced hill. On the top, there was a couple of trees, and as the community saw that we were walking up there, everyone got excited, and people from random communities stopped what they were doing, working, and all ran up to this place they called Prayer Hill. It's a rough translation from Spanish, and we were up there. Everyone was holding hands and praying, and I was thinking, oh man, this is useless and weird. I'm holding this strange lady from the village's hand next to me, and someone else here, and I don't know what's going on, kind of thing, and I just kind of wanted it to be over. But then I saw Jessica across from me, and then she kind of just... Have you ever seen someone, like, gracefully fall down before? Like, they just kind of just, like, kind of slump and then fall over. Like, they didn't fall straight back, and so she fell down, and I was like, I wonder if she's okay? But in that moment, God healed her completely. We were praying over her the day before for healing for her back, and that was her time. And it's been like 8 years since that. And every time I talk to her, so how's the back? She's like, fine. And she hasn't touched a single pill for it ever since. And while we were there, we were on TV because we did a skit for a program that without words because the language barrier, but and she used dance in that skit, so it was the next day to help demonstrate God's love for us and how he doesn't forget us and always turns towards us. So it was really cool that God healed her so she could enable her to use her dance for bringing people to his kingdom. So that's my testimony. I've seen real healing, and from that point, I'm like, God, you are on the throne of my life. And I've kicked him off many times and told him he had it again, but it is a constant struggle for us to always put God first. So I have a little illustration here. So we have two chairs. They don't represent anything other than God and us. So on the sixth day, God created man and said it was good. God gave Adam and Eve one rule. The one rule was, do not eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they took that rule and got deceived by the serpent. They turned from God. As God was walking through the garden, he says, where are you? He took them, killed an animal, and clothed them. Even though you broke the rule, you were cast out of the garden. I want to clothe you from your nakedness. Turns to them and helps them, even though they turned away from God. Cain was jealous of his brother Abel. His sacrifices were more pleasing to God than his. So he took him out into the field, and he killed him. He turned his back to God. God says, Cain, where is Abel? Am I my brother's keeper? His blood cries out to me. Does God smite Cain? No. He says, I will protect you, make sure and put a curse upon anyone that harms you. I will rescue you. But cursed is land that you touch. God rescued Cain, even though he turned from God. And then all of society, everyone was deceitful and they turned from God. It's written that God regretted making humanity, for their sins were so great. God decided not to destroy everyone, not to undo everything. He wanted to save humanity. He made a choice, and he saved them through Noah and the ark. Then God made a promise to Abraham shortly after and said, through him and Sarai, a nation will be born. Abraham saw this and heard this, and was like, this is awesome. And for years and years, they tried. In his old age, Sarai convinced him, it must be through my servant. So Abraham took what God said and twisted it and turned from God. They had a son named Ishmael. And then God came to Abraham and said, I reestablish my covenant with you, with Sarah. You're going to have a kid with Sarah, but I will still bless Ishmael like you've asked, and a nation will be of him. When enslaved in Egypt, the people turned to other gods and forgot God. But through Moses, God came and showed them signs. Cured from leprosy, as he put his hand in his coat, turned his staff into a snake and said, no, I am your God and I will take you out of Egypt, reaffirming the covenant with Abraham. Over and over in the desert, the people would turn from God and God would come out and say, yes, I'll give you water. He said, oh, but we're hungry. We're tired of the food that you've provided us. Yes, I will give you food. God turns to people no matter what they do. The golden calf. People turned, made Aaron, no, we want golden calf to protect us. God's like, no, I am your ruler. I want this relationship with you. So Aaron's the one who made the golden calf, and he was told to be the leader of the priests. Then the book of Judges, my arms are going to get tired, moving all these chairs back and forth. And then later on, people wanted to be like other nations. We want a king. We want to take you off the throne. God's sitting in the back seat. Fine, you have a king, but I will choose the king. And God sits in front of them again. And then David. David's this king. He says in there, a man after his own heart. But he lusts. Sees her bathing on the roof. Wealth and riches. And many wives. He takes her, kills a friend, and God comes and says, I will still bless your union with her and make the line of Jesus come through. Then on and on, the kings. Some kings would turn to God briefly, and then the rest of them would just all turn away. But this reenactment with the chairs, when I saw it the first time, kind of just said, of all these things all these people have done, and there's some hang-ups in my life where I feel like I've turned from God. And God's already waiting over here for me to forgive myself. And then God did one final thing. He sent his son down from heaven to die on the cross and says, you are forgiven through all your sins, and even when you turn away, I will still come after you. But you're forgiven. And he's done all this because he wants a relationship. This reflects a passage here in Romans 5, verse 8. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So while even though we sin, God turns back to us and he wants a relationship. Only one thing in the Bible it says that cannot be forgiven, and that taken out of context, people can be led astray. But it says if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. But in context, that is, if you see the works of God, so if you saw the works of Jesus, and then you called that the works of the devil, then that's a sin that cannot be forgiven. Because you've seen and know that it's God's works, but you tell others and yourself that it is the devil's works. So there's nothing you can do. God will not meet you where you're at. It's something that when I was younger, and something I'm still learning, that no matter what I do, and like for me there's a downtime. There's a spiritual downtime. If I do something just bad or heinous, or if I lie for some reason, like a few weeks ago I tell Sherry, I don't have a knife on me. This knife I bought, and I told her it was on sale, and it was on sale, but I didn't tell her how much it cost, right? Like it cost, I said it was $60, but it was $69, right? And for me, that was a big thing, because like, I know I rounded the truth, and for her, she's like, okay. But like, for me, that's lying, and after I've lied, like I had this spiritual downtime where I'm just like, okay, God, I'm not good enough, like, no. And he's just like, I'm ready here, I'm waiting for you to forgive yourself. Because let's move on. This wallowing, or this not forgiving yourself, is hindering the progress that we have. 2 Corinthians 13, 11 and 13. I'm going to try and find it here. It's one of the things I've never done. Never memorized all the books of the Bible. So then I'm just usually shooting blind, trying to find them. There you go. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Become mature and encouraged. Be of the same mind and be at peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a... This is the one verse that I missed that I didn't want to say. But greet one another with a holy kiss, and all the saints send you greetings. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.